Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
It's wonderful to see everybody out there. It's wonderful to see everybody online, if I could see you through the computer. But it's good to have everybody here with us tonight. We are having our second session of our singing service. All the elements of worship will be here. We're just having a greater emphasis on songs. And we are also, our theme tonight, as you can see up here, is Holy Bible, Book Divine. And so we're very glad that you are joining us, and We're glad to be able to study, especially God's Word tonight, and understanding through songs, mainly, how it is that His Word is truth, and how it's inspired, and how it's there to help us and guide us in this life that we live. So let us go to God in prayer this evening. Father, we're so thankful that You are with us. We know that You are always with us, and that You help us, that You have given us help through the centuries, through Your Word that You have preserved for us. You have given us that Word that we might study it and live it out in our lives. It is there to make the man of God equipped for every good work, competent in every way, that we might find everything we need for life and godliness within its pages. It's living and active, Lord. We know this. And we know that it is a sword that is to be used. It's a double-edged sword, meaning that it cuts first to us, the holder of it, that it helps us to become more like You, but then it cuts through the things of this world, of this life, the things that stand against You, that we might see clearly for ourselves and also light the path for others, that they might walk forward with us towards You in heaven with Your Son, our Savior, guiding us every step of the way. It's through Him that we pray and offer thanks for this evening. In Jesus, amen.
Our first reading this evening will be from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. And I would ask if you would please read the second part of the verse along with me. I appreciate it. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep Your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of Your commandments, for I delight in You. Incline my heart to Your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in Your ways. Confirm to Your servant Your promise. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for Your rules are good. Behold, I long for Your precepts, and Your righteousness give me life.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see.
tonight from Psalm 119, verses 49 to 56. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts.
Good evening. Our theme, as Doug said earlier, is Holy Bible, Book Divine, songs in Scripture, and songs about what Scripture means to every Christian. I want to thank all of the song leaders and the readers who have participated today and will continue to participate this evening, especially thanks to Doug for his message this morning. Doug asked me when I told him that I was using Psalm 119 as my text this evening, whether I was going to cover all 176 verses. Well, no. But I think you'll see as we go through here that a common thread exists in Psalm 119, and that thread is our theme for today, Holy Bible, Book Divine. It's been said that the Bible is the world's greatest love story. The main header of Psalm 119 is, Your word is a lamp to my feet. So let's sing number 895. I guess I need to click the first one. All right, here we go.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path.
Let's look at some of the overall statements about the Bible before we get into looking at Psalm 119. First of all, the Bible is not a science book, but its science is accurate. It's not a history book, but its accounts of people, places, and events are accurate. The Bible is not a psychology book, but its insights into human nature and behavior are strikingly accurate. The Bible is God speaking to man, a conversation that has taken place for more than 4,000 years and will continue throughout eternity. The Bible is a living document which is relevant to all situations, in all places, at all times, and completely describes God's love for us, his most magnificent creation. Here are four things I think that the Bible represents: absolute truth, complete love, unavoidable justice, and an infinite resource. The Bible represents absolute truth about how we were created, why we exist, and how we should live. Furthermore, even though parts of it were written a long time ago, it is completely relevant for today. Also, it represents complete love, because God's willing to communicate to us through His Word. Additionally, He shows us how to live through His law, and because of His mercy, He sent His only Son to us that we can live forever with Him. The Bible also represents unaffordable justice for all. He rights the wrongs that have been committed by the world, delivering the perfect penalty to those who deserve it. And then finally, it represents an infinite resource that we can study our entire lives and still find new and exciting revelations in every day. The Bible, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. Let's sing Ancient Words.
Holy words, long reserved for our love in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow in this world.
So about Psalm 119, the first question is, was David the author? Psalms were written by many men, which we can gather by the brief introductions before them. David himself is listed as the author for 73 of them, but not the entire collection. Here are the authors we know from the chapter descriptions. David, as I said, wrote 73. His son Solomon wrote two of the Psalms. Moses wrote one. Asaph and the family of Asaph wrote 12. The sons of Korah, 11. Heman the Ezraite wrote one, and Ethan the Ezraite wrote one. So that leaves about 50 of the Psalms that do not list a specific person as their author. So excluding David and Solomon and Moses, the authors of the Psalms, these other folks, were Levites or priests that were tasked with writing songs for sanctuary worship during the reign of David. So we don't know who the author of Psalm 119 is. Older commentators almost universally say that it was in fact David that wrote the psalm and that he composed it throughout his entire life. So it may be David was the author, but we can't say this with certainty, and it's not really necessary to know. If it were important, God would have preserved the name of David to this psalm. But no matter who the author was, it was likely written over some period of time and later compiled, because there's not really a definite flow from beginning of the psalm to the end. And we'll look at that closer. Some other things about Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. As I said earlier, 176 verses makes it equal in length to books like Ruth and James and Philippians. The theme of Psalm 119 is to glorify God and His Word. That's what we've really talked about all day today. The sections and verses are not like a chain, like other chapters in the Bible, where one link is connected to the other. But like a string of pearls, Psalm 119, where each pearl has equal but independent value. So it can be used for prayer or meditation. Psalm 119 is remarkable for how often it refers to God's revelation, His Word. It's referred to in almost every verse. Psalm 119 is a hymn psalm. That means it's written to be sung. It's also an acrostic poem, which means that each stanza begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I had some pictures to show that, and I decided not to use them. The Hebrew alphabet's kind of weird looking, so you'll have to take my word for it. Each stanza of each one of the, each line begins with the same letter from the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 stanzas or subsections in this psalm, each named after the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you looked in your Bible at Psalm 119, you'll see that each one of the stanzas has the name of the Hebrew alphabet before it. Each one of those stanzas or subsections has 8 verses in it. So pretty easy. 22 stanzas, 8 verses in each stanza, 176 verses. So let's take a closer look. There's 8 basic words in Psalm 119 that are used to describe the scriptures, God's written revelation to us. The word law is used 25 times. The word word, and you'll see that it's used twice here, and actually there's 2 meanings of this word word. This first one is used 24 times. The word judgments is used 23 times. Testimonies, 23 times. Commandments is used 22 times. Statutes, 21 times. Precepts, 21 times. And then that second meaning of the word word is used 19 times. So the first one of those is law. It's a Hebrew word that means Torah. Its parent verb means teaching or directing. Therefore, coming from God, it means both law and revelation. Here's some examples from the text. In the very first verse, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 34 says, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Verse 44, I will keep your law continually forever and ever. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Verse 174. Then this word, word, with its first meaning, Hebrew word is debar, D-A-B-A-R. The idea is the spoken word, God's revealed word to mankind, proceeding from his mouth and revealed by him to us. From the text, verse 105 says, really the whole heading of the whole book, is, or the whole book, yes, the whole chapter, is "Your word is a lamp to my feet," that like we sung earlier. "I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you," verse 11. "Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." And in verse 160, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." The next word is judgments. From the Hebrew word shaphat, it means to judge or determine, to regulate, to order. Verse 7 says, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I've chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments." Verse 137. And in the word testimonies, this word is related to the word for witness. To obey his testimonies signifies loyalty to the terms of the covenant made between the Lord and Israel. So verse 24 says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are joy, for they are the joy of my heart. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them." Next word is commandments. Hebrew word is miswa or miswat. It emphasizes the straight authority of what is said, the right to give orders. Verse 10 says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. And therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold." Verse 127. Statutes is a noun that's derived from the word engrave or inscribe. The idea here is the written word of God and the authority of his written word. Verse 5, "Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." And in verse 54, "Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning." Precepts is a word drawn from the sphere of an officer, an overseer, a man who is responsible to look closely into a situation and then take action. So the word points to the particular instructions coming from the Lord as of one who cares about detail. Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Behold, I long for your precepts, and your righteousness give me life. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." And then the second meaning of the word word, the Hebrew word here is imrah. It's similar in meaning to that first word, debar, but it's a different term. The word may denote anything God has spoken, commanded, or promised. And you'll see in these five examples that I'll show you that instead of using the word as singular, that he will use the plural of the word. "The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words," verse 57. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth, verse 103. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget not your words. And princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. So that's just some examples. You can see for each one of those, I shared with you five examples. But you can, as I said earlier, in most cases, there were around 20 uses of each one of those words throughout this 119th psalm. It's kind of interesting. Okay, we're going to sing How Precious is the Book Divine now, which is really the theme of the day.
How precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Rise, O lamp, its peace that shine, to guide my soul to heaven. Holy Word divine, divine, precious treasure of our heart. Lamp to my feet, and light to my way, to guide me safely home. In this dark veil of tears, light my mind is still in part, and quells my rising fears. Holy Word, O Book Divine, precious treasure of our heart, lamp to my feet and a light to my way, to guide me safely home. This lamp
songs. I would not have lasted for a fourth. So speaking about the blessing of loving God's word, as we study through Psalm 119, you'll note that the blessing of loving God's word brings these things. Number one, awe. Psalm 47 says, our God is an awesome God. Number two, joy. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, Philippians 2. Number three is hatred of falsehood. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's from 1 John chapter 4. Number four is praise, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, Colossians 1. Peace, number five. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4. Number six is hope. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Number seven is love. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 14. And lastly, faithfulness. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That's from Titus 1, verse 9. So the whole of Psalm 119, is, as we said earlier, is about the Word of God, the Holy Bible, Book Divine. This section of Psalm 119 that I'm about to read you is about loving God's Word. This is verses 161 through 168. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So in closing, Psalm 119 is really an exhaustive look at the Word of God and an exposition of what all these titles that I talked about earlier, what they refer to and what they mean. It is a feast of all feasts as it unpacks every nuance imaginable about the nature of the Word of God. I'd highly recommend that you read the 119th Psalm, and as I said earlier, use it often for meditation and prayer. I think you'll be richly rewarded by inclining your heart to perform these statutes forever to the end. Thank you, and now we'll continue with our service.
How firm a foundation he saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, oh be not dismayed, for I am thy God.
Timothy, 1 chapter, verses 12 through 17. I thank him who hath given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, and that in me, as foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example of those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of all of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's sing.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth.
Does and how it is that we need to live it out fully each and every day. And I think we all know how we fall short of that. Perhaps there's an opportunity for somebody who's never obeyed the gospel to come forward and have a study with the church to know what God requires from those commandments and precepts. Perhaps somebody here has allowed dust to collect on their Bible like we talked about this morning, and not been living out God's word in their lives. And so if that is you, and you need the prayers, the encouragement of the church, the help, the companionship, the fellowship of the Lord's body that you have strayed from, this is an opportunity for you to respond as we sing a song of invitation.
Fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to his spring. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.
Will you come
to the fountain free?
Will you come?
Whether you come, 'tis for you
Presence of God, for He